The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Another sultry Wednesday edition of the Leach Report. Glad to have you on board with us. Hopefully you're somewhere where it is cool listening as we got another hot day coming. I guess this is good for the football team, though, to get them ready to go to Florida. At the moment, I think it's actually a few degrees. At least last time I checked on the weather website, it was slightly cooler in Gainesville than it is in Lexington. So that'll get Mark Stoops and his guys may be ready for what they'll face from a climate standpoint on Saturday night at the Swamp. They're working on the football part, too, obviously, and we'll talk a lot about that today with our lineup of guests. Alan Cutler, formerly from WLEX-TV and now retired, and he's covered a lot of these Kentucky-Florida games, as have I, so we'll talk a little bit about that and this matchup. Jeremy Jarman, one of our newcomers to the UK Network Countdown to Kickoff show. He and Dusty Bonner and Christy Thomas will have the pregame coverage on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. I guess they'll get started at 5:30 Eastern. And Jeremy will give us his take on the Wildcats opening win, and Chris Fisher from the Cats Paws on Wednesdays as well. Our guest on Up Always presented by Sleep Outfitters. The Leach Report is served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And let's get right to the Wildcat news of the day. A service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Eddie Grand talked yesterday, and Tuesday is the interview day for the offense. Talked a lot about turnovers, and now obviously they've got to clean that up for this week. He's confident his quarterbacks will be better with one game under their belt, and that certainly makes sense. He talked about the wide receivers briefly, so they've got to do better against press coverage, and that's noteworthy because I would think they'll see a good bit of that against the Gators. Writer for Saturday Down South picks Kentucky to end the streak this week. Not a lot of people are making that prediction. One of the reasons he cites is the running game that Kentucky has, and Charleston Southern ran for over 200 yards with its option attack against Florida. There was a good bit of talk out of the Florida camp yesterday about Benny Snell Jr., and first up we'll hear from one of the Gator linebackers, Voshan Joseph.
He says he's the best running back in the SEC.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I feel like the Gators got the best running backs. All due respect to Kentucky, but like, ain't nobody gonna sit here and disrespect our team like that. You know what I'm saying, Gamble. That's what I'm saying. We ain't seen before. You know, we done played against Sony Michel, everybody. So if you better than Sony Michel, you gotta tell me that.
This is courtesy of the Rivals Network. Some post game or post practice sound yesterday. Joseph is a linebacker that will have the task of trying to stop Mr. Snell on Saturday. Coach Dan Mullen, as you might expect, talked in a little different terms.
They got a young athletic quarterback that came in, a guy that we recruited as well, and he can obviously is dynamic. And if you, the problem comes if you put all your attention on one guy, it's the other guys, the other weapons that go out there and beat you. But he's a great running back. So, you know, to be successful, to beat him, if you don't stop him and stop them running the football, you're going to be in for a long day, you know. So you have got to put some emphasis on being able to stop the run.
It was Dan Mullen, the Florida coach, at his press session. You may have forgotten that they tried to recruit Terry Wilson. They got in late to the party. It was Kentucky and Nebraska were the main suitors, and then Florida came in late. And obviously Kentucky landed Wilson, but it speaks to the fact that something Coach Ortmeier and I talked about yesterday on the show, that the quarterbacks that Mullen has are really not the guys he would pick, the types of quarterbacks he would pick for the type of offense he likes to run. It would be more of a guy like Terry Wilson. So they're trying to run the offense with Felipe Franks, and he was quite good in the opener against a much inferior opponent. So we'll see if Kentucky can rattle him on Saturday. Wildcats picked up 13 votes this week in the coaches' poll. That's up 5 votes from the week before. Florida is number 25. If Kentucky could win, might get ranked or would certainly be at the threshold, I would think. And they did not get any votes in the Associated Press poll this week. A few basketball recruiting notes. Brian Antoine in the 2019 class, player that's been associated with Kentucky in his recruitment. He has committed to Villanova. I think Duke had been considered the favorite there. Matthew Hurt, a forward, is going to visit for Big Blue Madness. He's going to host Coach Cal and Coach K for in-home visits this week. He's got a teammate that's showing up on Kentucky's recruiting radar on his AAU team, Zeke Nagy. That's how that's pronounced, N-N-A-J-I. He'll do an unofficial visit to Kentucky, and among others, and then we'll schedule official visits too, but no dates that I've seen listed anywhere yet, so it's another name to follow. The Kentucky basketball Twitter feed yesterday, by the way, posted some shots from practice as they got a chance to start resumption of their preparation for the upcoming season, and it was good to see that Jamal Baker was out there with them. And congrats to UK men's soccer, a 3-0 win over number 7 Louisville, 3-0 at the Bell Soccer Complex. J.J. Williams with a couple of goals for Kentucky, so kudos to those guys. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break. Allie Collar, when we come right back, it's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
16 after the top of the hour on this Wednesday, we welcome in Allie Cutler to the program. How's retirement going?
Lovely. Just lovely. I'm sitting here and deciding, should I buy a razor today or not? That's the tough decision of the day. And I probably won't.
Yeah. Anybody that's seen the Twitter feed, you've kind of gone David Letterman on us.
You know, I didn't even think about David Letterman, and maybe I should have, but it's surprising how many people have suggested that. I always wanted to have a beard on TV. They wouldn't let me. That's pretty normal. Had a beard in radio before you were born in the 1970s, and I told Judy way before I retired that when I retired, I was going to grow a beard. So, you know, my last time I shaved was my last day on TV, Derby Day.
Wow. Well, Terry Wilson said he's not had a haircut since he was in the eighth grade, so you guys can have a little competition maybe with his hair and your beard.
Well, the problem is, when I was in eighth grade, Abe Lincoln was president, so I don't know if I'd be able to grow hair like that. But that's impressive. I don't know if I'm going to get my hair cut for a couple of years. We'll see.
While we're doing a little reminiscing here, I'm guessing you were in the, I know I was, and I'm guessing you were too, in the press box the last time Kentucky beat Florida. Correct?
Yeah. But what I was thinking the other day as I'm pausing, and I had forgotten about this, the last time Kentucky won at Florida was 1979, and in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, you weren't here then. I was talking about 86, no. The game at Lexington.
So, no, I wasn't even here. So that's kind of crazy. It really is.
I was talking about the game in Lexington, Alan, in 86.
Actually, I'm pausing again because I thought of 79, but I was not here in 86.
Oh, really?
So I've never. No, wow. I was in Pittsburgh.
Because I know you came in early 80s.
I was here from 81 to 84, and then 84 to 87 I went to Pittsburgh, and then they were dumb enough to ask me to come back to Lexington. Look what a mistake they made.
Well, I guess it's a good thing you're not going to be in Gainesville then Saturday. Maybe they've got a chance.
I would say if somebody offers me a seat on a private plane down there, it might be best if I don't go.
Probably so. Give me your take on the opening game performance.
I'll start with a positive. After I saw Max Duffy punt like two or three times, you know, I'm silly and I'm old school, and I know you can relate to this. I went, my gosh, if Kentucky's playing a close game against an SEC team, this kid could help win the game with field position. I still believe in field position. Nobody talks about field position. I loved him. Touchdown Terry played a really bad game, let's just say it. But I wasn't that upset because, one, the coaches aren't stupid. I mean, they've watched this kid through countless practices and stuff like that. They see something. The kid was really nervous. So I kind of throw it out the window. So I'm not as upset as people are about how he played. You know, if he did nothing but not turn the ball over, it would have been ridiculously lopsided. So I'm okay with it. Now, if he does this with four or five games, he won't be the starter. But, I mean, I'm not judging him on that first game. I'm just kind of throwing it out. Tom, this kid wants this so bad. I mean, everybody wants it. But, as you know, certain athletes want it more than others. This kid wants it so bad, I think it affected him. He's just got to just play. And then I'm curious to see what he can do, and I think Gunner can play. And I'm not so sure, and you've seen practice, I don't. I'm not so sure Danny Clark can play.
Yep. Yep.
I don't think this is a bad situation. I think they were fortunate that they weren't playing Florida in game number one. And as we all know, it's tougher going down to Florida and the streak and all that kind of stuff. But now the young man is taking snaps. So I'm kind of curious to see how it'll do. So he gets pushed too much. You know, I'm not as worried about him as others are. The other thing is A.J. Rose. My gosh. When he planted his foot and changed direction, Tom, it's like he was in fifth gear, like, right away. It was kind of like, I went, whoa. The long touchdown run of 50 yards plus was cool, but what he did changing directions and his body movement, it was really special. So that kind of stuck out. The other thing is, this sounds negative, but I wish from the beginning that Cash Daniels was redshirted in his first year. Because you look at him, and if he could have three more years, plus, you've been around him. The kid writes goals down and puts it on his wall or refrigerator and stuff like that. Most people don't do that. And he's obviously faster, and he's taken his hips and done something. They've worked on him. He's changing directions better. And I look at him and going, he was making tackles. Tom, see if you agree with me. I don't know if some of those tackles he could have gotten to the ball 2 years ago because he wasn't fast enough and he couldn't change directions.
He's exploding downhill like a running back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've always thought he might end up playing Pro Bowl, and I get it, me being an idiot here. I've always thought he'd make a great tight end because he'd be a great blocking tight end. And,
yeah, he would.
And I think his hands are good enough. And I'm not saying he's not a good linebacker, so please, I'm not going there. But I always looked at him going, my gosh, blocking fullback, tight end. But I was really impressed how physically improved he was moving versus the first time when he showed up on campus. And it's a credit to the kid. It really is.
22 after the top of the hour. Got to get a quick break in. We'll come back with one more segment with Alan Cutler here on the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Back for another segment with Alan Cutler. And I'm guessing that you had a good bit of interaction with a gentleman who's being laid to rest today, John Asher over in Louisville.
You know, Tom, I don't know anyone who had more friends than he did. I mean, I really don't. I had this visual, you know, when NBC got the contract for the Derby, it really changed my career because I just attacked horse racing, and I grew to love it. I know you've been a big horse guy for a long time, but the features I was able to do and the people I would talk to, and I can picture, I'm closing my eyes, and I'm not driving, so it's safe, and I can picture John on the backside. And I historically would get there 3-4 weeks, sometimes 5 weeks before the Derby to start doing stuff, depending upon if any horses were there. And I can picture him on the backside just walking and him saying, hey, Cutler, how are you? It's going to be a great day for the Derby. If you need something, let me know.
Yep.
Because, as you know, that's John. If you need something, let me know. Always had a smile on his face. Really smart guy. Kind, considerate. Best radio sports reporter maybe I've ever heard, because his stuff on horse racing with a blending of sound of net sound and stuff, he was
fantastic.
A spectacular radio person, which people forget. I mean, if you didn't like John Asher, you had a problem. And always had a smile, always tried to help you out. you know, and I really didn't need him to help out, but I always knew if I needed him, he was there, and that's more important. I freaked out like a lot of people. You know, I guess we're getting older, and he had lost weight, and I thought he was doing fine, you know, but it's tough.
Great turnout to honor him yesterday. Churchill Downs did a nice thing. They took the hearse around the track before they took the casket upstairs, and I think the line was 2 hours and change early. I got there middle of the afternoon, and it was still about an hour-long line, and I'm sure it was that way for the rest of the day. On to other subjects. There's a book to talk about, but not Rick Pitino. You're writing one, right?
Well, you know, Pitino's come out with a book. I mean, it's so sad. Woodward, I can't wait to read his book, and I'm putting a book out. So who's going to buy my book? Yeah, I'm doing a book on my career with my dear friend, Dr. John Wong, who you know.
Yep.
He's never done a book, but he's a really smart guy, and he's putting up with me. And I'm going back on my career. I'm a little concerned. I'm too honest with the book. Not that I would lie, but you know how I am about just being too forward with stuff. And I ripped myself in the book. I'm not holding back, and I don't know how it's going to be received. And I have a concern about it, Tom, because on TV, you probably think I was cocky, and I really was. But this is different, Tom. I have no experience doing this. And I got some great counsel from a good friend of ours, Dick Coops Weiss, who just finished a book with Vital. But I'm so insecure about writing a book, seriously, that it's interesting going from an area where I was so secure to, like, really almost from the beginning, which is kind of crazy, to being so insecure taking on this project. It's interesting. I mean, I have stuff that goes back from the 70s on. So we'll see. It's been tough but enjoyable. And it's anything else. It's more work than I thought it was going to be, and I knew it was going to be a lot of work, if that makes any sense.
I look forward to it. Give me a quick thought. I read Gary Parrish, Gary Parrish's column today on the Pitino book. He said that either you believe him or you don't, the book won't do anything to change that. I'll give you the TV wrap here. You got about 40 seconds. Give me a take on if you agree with that.
I agree with it 100%. If his purpose is to convince people otherwise, it's not going to work. To me, the reason why he put the book out was totally different. When he said he doesn't want to coach, he wants to coach. Rick was always like, he'd say one thing and you knew it was something else. He's dying to coach again. And
absolutely.
I think he's putting this out so some president will allow an athletics director to hire him. I think it's the entire purpose of the book.
No, I'd say that makes a lot of sense. Alan, appreciate the time. When is your book due out?
I'm not sure, because I don't know if we're going to self-publish or maybe go with a publishing company, and the difference between self-publishing and going with a publishing company could be a half a year. So we're still debating the merits of doing it ourselves or not. I hope there's no reason it won't be completed before the end of October. We're not that far away. Man, we got like 300 pages already, and I'm not done.
Good stuff. Look forward to it. We'll holler back at you again later on in the football season, but thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good one, dude.
It's Alan Cutler, and we are halfway home. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs. Chris Fisher coming up next.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back into the Leach Report. It is our Wednesday show. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. I see a report on Twitter from a guy who covers Florida for the Rivals site, and he tweets that two Gators, defensive end C.C. Jefferson and linebacker David Reese, are both listed as questionable for Saturday's game. So it could be an intriguing blow to the Gators' defense if those two guys are unable to go. Chris Fisher joins us from catspaws.com. I am of the belief, Chris, that if Kentucky ends this streak on Saturday, the script will include an advantage in the run game for Kentucky. So if the Gators have some physical issues on the defensive side could do nothing but help.
Yeah, definitely. I think anytime Kentucky has played Florida, at least in recent years, the run game has kind of been the strength for Kentucky, and unfortunately the run defense has long been a strength of that Florida defense, especially with a guy like Benny Snell, who really isn't gonna, you know, dance around and make a lot of people miss. He's gonna run some people over, and so they're definitely gonna have to try to find a way to get him going and have a heavy dose of he and A.J. Rose in the run game if they want to have a chance on Saturday.
Saw a line in John Hale's story at the CJ today, and it's the line is, nothing would advance the trajectory of the program at Kentucky, obviously, like ending the Florida streak. I would say that is spot on. This is, I told somebody yesterday, this has become, I think, for a lot of fans, like the Louisville game, when it was at the start of the season, since this one's usually right there, second or third game of the year, is that if you lose it, or win in the case of the Florida series, it just gets a bad taste in everybody's mouth that they have a hard time getting rid of. It takes a lot that the team has to do to overcome that.
And I would go as far to say that I don't think a large segment of the fan base is still even over last season's game.
Yeah,
and the way and the way that played out, I think some fans are still just kind of in a fog, wondering how and why Kentucky didn't win that game. And if you take a step back and you look at the streak, the odds of the streak surviving the 2014, you know, overtime game in Gainesville, 2015, the 14-9 game in Lexington, and last year's game in Lexington, the odds of the streak surviving those three games is astronomical. So sometimes I just think it might just be out of your hands. Maybe it's something in the cosmos. I don't know, but yeah, I definitely know it's very, very frustrating for fans. I think fans are tired of hearing it talked about, you know, this was the number one show, this was the number one movie, this was the number one song the last time Kentucky won, and you can certainly get that sense from Mark Stoops as well.
You know, if I were in this situation, the way I might think about this, might handle this is, I'd be like Coach Stoops. I wouldn't really downplay the streak and all of that. You know, you guys don't own all of those. I mean, the program owns the defeats, but the players don't. But I think I might play up last year's game. It was, you know, a tribute to those players that they were able to come back from that kind of a devastating loss and still make it to a bowl game. And then, you know, I suspect they think a lot about that last year's game, too, maybe more with the idea of having a chip on their shoulder about it. So we'll see if that can serve as the necessary motivation for them.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think last year's game can give this Kentucky team a lot of confidence, knowing that, for all intents and purposes, they were the better team on the field a year ago in Lexington. So that can give them some confidence going into Saturday, but I also think that, you know, Mark Stoops has done a really good job of understanding the significance of the streak, but also not putting the weight of that on his players' shoulders. He understands that these guys have really only been part of a handful of those 31 straight losses. And so I think he's done as well of a job as he possibly could handling that subject.
Talk about a couple recruiting notes. Matthew Hertz set up, see an official visit for Madness. Cal's done an in-home this week. And then he's got a teammate on his AU team that is showing up on Kentucky's recruiting radar now, right?
Yeah, that's what I understand. Matthew Hurt isn't really a front court target that gets talked about as much as a James Wiseman or a Vernon Carey, and you've had a couple guys kind of crop up on the radar here recently, but I talked to his dad last week, and he said he definitely feels like Kentucky is all in with Matthew Hurt. He said it took them a while to kind of come around on him, but they have a in-home visit set up for September 9th, the first day of the recruiting period, so they'll visit him, and I saw Oscar report that Matthew Hurt will be on campus for Big Blue Madness. That'll be a huge opportunity to impress him. And you mentioned his teammate Zeke Nagy is a guy that's really blown up over the spring and summer, playing alongside Matthew Hurt, has really, really elevated his status as one of the top prospects in the 2019 class. I think Kentucky's interest there is still relatively new as they kind of continue to explore backup options in the front court, and we'll just have to wait and see how that develops.
See where Brian Antoine committed to Villanova. Just curious, are you seeing that they're recruiting, the guys they're able to connect with is changing because of these two championships in the last 3 years?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think Brian Antoine is Villanova's highest rated recruit in over a decade, and obviously they've been getting, you know, top 30, top 40, top 50 guys that stick around. You know, North Carolina has kind of employed that, and Louisville under Rick Pitino as well, where you don't get the one and done, you don't get the top, you know, 15, 20 guys, but you get a lot of those top 30 or 40 guys that stick around for multiple years. Then all of a sudden, over the course of time, you have a nice blend of both talent and experience. And that's boded well for Villanova and some other programs. But now you're starting to see them get those, you know, top 10, top 15, one and done type guys. And Brian Antoine, like I said, is definitely one of the highest rated recruits they've had in some time. And a lot of people felt like he was on his way to Duke. So that was a big steal for them.
Chris Fisher is at catspaws.com. And on Twitter, it's at ChrisFisher247. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Our guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters, and their biggest Labor Day sale ever is continuing at Sleep Outfitters. You get some fantastic deals right now. They are the number one Tempur-Pedic retailer in Kentucky, and you can get huge savings during this sale of 65%. Up to 65%, I should say. 6 year special financing and free delivery on those qualifying purchases. As the number one Tempur-Pedic retailer, Sleep Outfitters gives you some great deals. Save $550 on select Tempur-Pedic mattresses, plus a free 55-inch high-def TV with a Tempur-Pedic purchase. During Sleep Outfitters' extended Labor Day sale, you can check out those great deals and others. Shop in-store or go online to sleepoutfitters.com. It is the Leach Report, 17 away from the top of the hour. And we will be right back with Jeremy Jarman. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Jeremy Jarman joins us. You heard him with Dusty Bonner, Christy Thomas on the Countdown to Kickoff show last Saturday. They'll be on the air at 5:30 Eastern this Saturday, previewing Kentucky and Florida. And, Jeremy, if the Cats end this streak with a win down at the Swamp, how will they do it?
How will they do it? I think it's going to be have to definitely be a collective effort, but I think they're going to have to do it with the dual-threat quarterback, that's for sure. I think we're really going to need Terry to keep the chains moving for us down there in the Swamp. That's something that you saw Charleston Southern. They had a little bit of success doing that, you know, being able to, their quarterback being able to take off. And, you know, you probably see he probably got six or seven first downs, if not a little bit more, just keeping those chains moving. And for defense, it's demoralizing. Anytime you get into those second and medium, third, short, third and long situations, and a drive gets extended from either, a first down or multiple first downs, the odds that the offense is going to score just continues to increase.
Yeah, they usually play a lot of press coverage, too, which could make Terry a little more dangerous. Right. Those guys are locked up out on the outside on receivers.
Absolutely, and that's a really good observation, Tom. And, you know, when you go back and you look at the last few years, you know, thank goodness Josh Dobbs graduated. But, you know, we played a lot of 1-2 as well, a lot of press coverage. And one thing that he was really able to do well against us, the former UT quarterback, now Pittsburgh Steeler, is really read those defenses. And when he would see those linebackers or those cornerbacks turn, he knew it was cover one. He knew that those guys were locked up, but he would use it, especially on third downs, to run and get first downs. And I would expect Terry, if not this game, but over the course of his career here the next 3 years, to really start to pick up on things like that and find ways
to just keep the sticks moving for us on first downs. And, I think another area, too, is our tight ends and our wide receivers are blocking extremely well on those edges. You look at all those runs and our big wide receivers, and you look at guys like Justin Rigg and C.J. Conrad. I mean, you want to talk about locking up on defenders and moving your feet and creating lanes. Take my head off to those guys. They played really well in the run game.
Let's talk about your former position group, defensive line. Kentucky's got more depth there than it's had in a while. I think nine guys played on Saturday. I think they had 17 combined tackles. Tamir DeBose had a couple of tackles for loss. What did you see out of the guys up front in the way of improvement?
Yeah, I saw our backups do an extremely good job. And, I mean, such a good job that you wonder – I don't think there's any wondering. I think that some of those guys like DeBose and also Phil Hoskins, when you look at the tape and see how well those guys played, they're going to be getting more playing time as the season goes on. And, that's a testament to Coach LeBlanc and the job that he's done, really continuing to develop those guys. Calvin Taylor got in there. He did some good things as well, from that backup position behind T.J. Carter. So it was exciting to see the growth there with our ones, but also our backups. I thought they played extremely well. And see our guy Square get in the game. Square played a really, really good football game. Made some mistakes, but his hustle, he was out in coverage. He did a lot of things the right way, and I would expect his playing time to continue to stay up as well. This looks like it could be a really good opportunity for him to grow and really be a strong candidate to replace Jordan once he graduates.
Yeah, they need somebody. That first group of linebackers look great. But behind them, you just got a lot of question marks. Jamin Davis got his first action. Square got his first action. They'll work Oates in a little bit. Probably not as much like this week. But they've got a little more room for error on injuries in that front group, but not so much in the second group.
No, not a lot at all. And I think it's going to be important that our D line play continues to eat up blocks and things like that and allow our linebackers to make plays the way that they're making them. And, you see Cash with, some really good explosive plays. Talked with him a little bit over the offseason. Last time I talked to him about a week or, a week and a half ago, and he told me he lost about 25 pounds. That's why he's moving. That's why his flexibility's improved. That's why his first step's faster. That's why we see him making the plays that, we saw him make this past week. And, kudos to him for taking his game to the next level physically. He told me he's watching a lot of film. You can see that. It's evident. He's doing everything that he can to be that stalwart there in the middle for us. I thought him and Jordan played extremely well. And within our scheme, our defensive line, our nose guards, they did what they were supposed to do to allow those guys to shoot the gaps and make those plays.
I thought they tackled well, and that's going to be huge against the speed of the Gators out in space.
This may be the best tackling performance. I don't even know if "may" is the word. I think it is, Tom. I think this is the best tackling performance of a game in the Mark Stoops era. They tackled extremely well in space. They tackled the quarterback well. You saw guys like West come down, make some big tackles in one-on-one situations. Across the board, great effort. I mean, rallying to the ball. I think the only thing, you want to see some improvements, start trying to strip the ball out. They brought the ball carrier down. Now, you just like to see maybe that second player get in there and start trying to rip the ball out. But that's always a really good sign to start your season the way that we did with our effort in regards to tackling.
You'd like to be going into the Swamp with more experience at the quarterback position, but they've got a lot of experience around Terry or Gunner if he gets the call. What can all those guys do to help the QB a little bit?
I just think making sure that they communicate. It's obviously going to be tough to make any changes and things like that down there, but I think the main thing is that it's just going to be important. We saw guys like Bouvier really do a good job of creating separation. We want to see a little bit more of that. This is going to be a big challenge for our wide receivers. Guys like Bowden, Dorian Baker, Bouvier, they showed flashes yesterday or last Saturday, we're really going to need those guys to find ways to get separation, because these two corners for Florida, they're young, they're both sophomores, but they are extremely good football players. You know, I see both of these guys being first-round draft picks, you know, second at the latest. They're young, but they're really good. So it's going to be important that these guys are clean out of those breaks and that they give Terry some windows to throw the ball in, and they manage to catch these footballs this week, because this is going to be a fight. And that matchup, I think on both sides of the ball, the wide receivers versus the corners and vice versa for both teams, these are two really good units. Maybe one of our best secondary units playing against a really good Florida wide receiver corps. So it's going to be a battle out there.
I think I would have to think Florida is really going to come after Wilson early. So there will be opportunities for those big plays if those they can get that separation or maybe get Terry scrambling.
Right. I think that they are, too. I'm curious to see. You know, Florida's really aggressive. You know, they really – when you have two corners the way, you know, to the caliber that Florida has, they take a lot of chances. They do a lot of cover. You know, they're able to blitz players. They got a couple really good end rushers. They're inside defensive tackles. They're not as good as what we've seen Florida have in the years of past, but they'll manage to, you know, do a good job in there. But I do expect them to definitely play aggressive and try and blitz and maybe throw a spy in, because they did give up some crucial first downs against Charleston Southern where the quarterback hurt them, you know, with the feed. And you could just see it in those players' body language that they were not too happy. That they weren't able to get to him. So, you know, hopefully Terry is he's able to come out there and give us a better performance, which I know that he will. He's an extremely intelligent football player. The way he approaches the game, there's a lot of faith and confidence in him, and I know that our players do have that as well. He just gives us an element at that position that we haven't had here, Tom. And, you know, big performance by him could definitely be what we need this weekend.
Jeremy Jarman, Dusty Bonner, Christy Thomas will be talking about all of this starting at 5:30 Eastern time on Saturday. Thank you, Jeremy.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
You can find him on Twitter at DoubleJJ90. And we are heading to a break. When we come back, we will wrap up this edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Donato Slice of Wildcat History, 1998, this day, Kentucky christened Louisville's new stadium with a 68-34 beatdown of the Cardinals. Tim Couch may still be throwing touchdowns.